This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Today, I am joined in the JPR studios by Mr. John Paul White. Hello, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. Welcome to Ashland, Oregon.
It's great to be here. It's beautiful outside.
It is lovely here.
Yeah, it does not look like Alabama around here, I'll tell you that.
You are originally from Florence, is that right? Which
I
is
am.
Essentially the Muscle Shoals area.
Yeah, the Shoals is four cities squashed up on the Tennessee River, and Florence is on the opposite side of the river from Muscle Shoals, so it's all the same thing, really.
And other than the image that we all have of it being this amazing place for music, what is it like? What does it sort of look and feel like when you're there?
It's a little bit Mayberry. You know, it's a small enough town that there's not a lot of crime, but it's also a small enough town that there's not a ton of jobs. You know, lots of families, a lot of people commute to other cities to work. So, I don't know. It's a place that I've called home my entire life. I was born over at Helen Keller Hospital, and then grew up right outside of town up in Loretta, Tennessee, and then moved back after high school. And so I don't see myself ever leaving.
Yeah. Before we get too far down the line, can I just say that I could listen to you talk all day? You're sort of putting all of us to shame.
Maybe I need to be on your side of the desk.
That'd
maybe
be lovely.
There are days when I would probably prefer that, but not that often.
When you were growing up in that area, did you have an awareness of the importance of Muscle Shoals to the musical community?
Yes and no. When I was young, no, and my parents didn't really impress it upon me. They had both kind of given up on music around the late 70s. My dad hated the urban country movement, so he just stuck to all his old Hank and Merle and George records. And my mom never was really a huge popular music fan, so she would just turn on pop radio when we got in the car, and that's what we were weaned on. As I got older, I started realizing from other musician friends of mine in like high school that would bring up, Muscle Shoals sound and fame, and it was just right down the road, and I had no clue. I do remember, the one thing I remember from my mom is driving by Fame, and she pointed over toward it, and she said, "That's a famous recording studio." So, what do you mean, recording studio? She said, "Well, that people go in there and they make records." That's, and of course, my young brain, I just thought people just sang out of the radio, I guess. I don't know what, like there were ants in there singing to us or something. And I said, "Well, like who?" And of all the people she could mention, she said, "The Osmond Brothers." And I said, "Cool."
Well, now, with all of that going on, is it true that the catalyst that kind of got you into making music was actually AC/DC, though?
Well, again, yes and no. What the catalyst was the way that girls looked at me as I sang AC/DC. Yeah.
Has that changed?
That they look at me that way?
Yeah.
Sadly, that has changed. It's a whole different dynamic, because at the time, what really hooked me was the way I could tell it affected people and the way it made them feel. And that was enough for me. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that it made me quote unquote matter in my little tiny town. I had a quote unquote talent, and it made me stand out, and I was happy about that. So I ran with it. And it wasn't until later, probably college, when I finally started trying to write songs, that I started finding a deeper connection to it and realizing, what that voice was inside of me that was different from everybody else that I was just mimicking my whole life, playing in cover bands down on the Tennessee-Alabama state line.
I'm glad you brought up the writing of songs, and I want to touch on this in just a minute after we hear a tune, because though most people are aware of you and your music through the era of civil wars,
right,
you had an actual songwriting day job.
I did.
For years before that.
I did.
John Paul White is my guest live today on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called Beulah. Information is online at johnpaulwhite.com. You have brought in two interesting guitars. Which one do you want to pick up first and play for us?
How about this Martin? This is a 1957 Martin that was given to my family when I was a little kid and sat in our closet until I decided to make a run at this. So I've written almost every song I've written on that guitar.
What do you want to do first?
Let's do the opening track on the record. We'll do Black Leaf.
Black Leaf. John Paul White is live in the JPR studios today. That song leads off his new record called Beulah. JohnPaulWhite.com is the web address. So before 2009-ish, when Civil War's project started, you were actually writing songs for Nashville, or were you living in Nashville at the time?
I was driving back and forth. It's about a 2.5-hour commute, and I'd go up and stay up for about 2 or 3 days, and crash on couches and write songs, and then go back home. And did that for about 10 years.
Really? How many songs do you think you cranked out?
Oh, over, probably 1,000 songs.
Any of them stick with you in your catalog?
Yes. Well, yeah. My first record I made was for Capitol Records, and it was called The Long Goodbye. And the way I got to make it was because of that songwriting for EMI in Nashville. Well, EMI is a global company, so they sent the songs that I was writing, which were decidedly not country, really. That was more my rock background. They sent them to New York and to LA, and they said, you know, typically when Nashville would send things to New York or LA, they would just kind of turn a deaf ear to it. But luckily it got through the cracks, and they said, we think there's potential here, let's pitch it. And so a lot of the songs that I was writing for the market, I ended up using for myself.
Any of those still in the catalog today?
We don't perform any of them live, but there's songs like there's some songs on there like This Life and Come Over. They were recorded by Faith Hill and Leanne Rimes. And so I've been very fortunate. It was, you know, I've had many chapters, and that was definitely one that still serves me well, because when I decide to sit down and write a song, I've got years of practice of calling the muse and not having to just be always inspired in the middle of the night.
Well, speaking of chapters, the big one, of which there have been millions and millions of words written over the last half decade, was, of course, the time that you were in Civil Wars. And the meteoric rise in popularity, popular awareness, critical accolades, Grammy Awards that came out of that era. In reading and listening to interviews that you have given talking about that period, you seemed as if you had been in it with both feet. Every gig, yes. Every interview, yeah. We're going to do the whole thing and just ride the wave as much as possible. Was there a point in it that you knew it was coming to an end, but yet there were still all of these commitments to be dealing with?
If you asked me at the time, I'd say no. You know, looking back at it, I probably noticed me pulling back the reins. But when you're down in the middle of it and you grow up again in a small town and you've spent your whole life with that dream, and somebody lays it out in front of you, and everything that you're doing, people are digging it. And every time you do something, it succeeds. And every time you set a goal, you get to it quicker than you ever thought you would. Then what kind of fool is going to stop doing that, you know? And so it just became this cyclical thing that was just like, all right, I just put on blinders every day. And I wouldn't know what's going on the day before or the day after. All that mattered was you and I sitting here having this interview. Nothing else would be able to matter, because you just, I couldn't compute it all.
Well, so, there were what, like five pretty good reasons for you to spend more time at home,
yes,
right?
That's exactly right. But again, you know, I'm paying bills, and we have a house that we were renovating because it was a dump. It was an old historical house that was drafty and leaking and everything. So this was helping pay for that. So it's a strange existence where you feel like, who stops doing this? You know, who stops being successful? Who walks away from something that everyone on, well, not everyone on earth, but most people would dream of doing?
Sure.
You know, and so it just doesn't enter your mind. You know,
it's also one definition of success.
Yes, and there's many.
Yeah,
I've learned that.
John Paul White is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new solo record is called Beulah. We'll talk about that title in just a moment. JohnPaulWhite.com is the web address. Will you play another tune for us?
I'd love to.
What's next?
Let's do Once and Future Queen.
Subjects love me one. thought I was good for you, if I thought this could work, I'd reach a little higher and pull you back to earth. But the man you're really looking for, the one in all your dreams, someone that someone won't be me, and that's okay. You never really loved me anyway, not enough to meet me half the way. Oh, love something you could only take. That's okay. I never really loved you anyway, at least not unconditionally, like subjects love the ones in future queens.
That is John Paul White live today on Jefferson Public Radio. It's a song from the new record called Beulah. JohnPaulWhite.com is the web address for more information. So about 3 years went by where you were spending time with those five good reasons back home, kids and wife, right? Did you think that you would get back into doing what you are now doing again, which is hopping in a van and driving around the country and playing gigs?
No.
What did you think you'd be doing? I mean, you started a label, you have a recording studio.
That's right. I was lucky enough that I didn't, at least for a while, I didn't have to care. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to have a goal or a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, because I'd worked so hard for so long and accomplished more than I ever really set out to accomplish that I had no bucket list. I had no goal. I had no dream, and I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. I was just completely content to be home with my kids and my wife and go to basketball games and baseball games and listen to them talk about their day and not sit there thinking about where I should be or what interview I should be calling in for or strings that I need to have on my guitar. None. Yeah. It was completely quiet in my head. But at the same time, melodically and lyrically, it was quiet too. There was nothing there. And I wasn't searching for it. And I thought, if it happens, it happens. I'm not going to draw a line in the sand and say I'll never make a record. But I sure wasn't planning on it. And I didn't even want to walk across the street to play a song. I was so burnt. So,
did you play music at home just by yourself?
I didn't.
Really? No, not at all?
Never. I didn't even sing in the shower.
Come on.
I swear.
Not at all? Really?
I knew things were changing when I caught myself singing in the shower. I mean, that was definitely a moment. Like, what am I doing?
Well, all right. So you've got the record label and St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Amazing record.
Right.
You pop that in the car, driving to get groceries. You're not singing along?
I don't put anything in. I don't typically listen to music in the car. I definitely didn't then. Huh. I'd listen to talk radio or something like that, but no. Nah. Mm. Or the kids are listening to, you know, Katy Perry or Taylor Swift. So.
Well, inevitably the songs came. Yeah. They became Beulah. Beulah, the name, has got a biblical reference, but it's actually a more simple reason for you that you chose that, right? It's a family name?
It's twofold. It's a term of endearment around our house. My dad called my little sister Beulah. I call my daughter that. I call my wife that. It's just by osmosis, it became part of my vernacular. It's a common term in the South. But probably the bigger reason that it's the name of the record is there's a guy named William Blake, a philosopher, that he had his own kind of mythology for his own Christianity, his own views on how things worked, as a lot of us do. And he talked about a place that you could go through meditation or whatever, and you could heal. You could get your act together. You could recenter. And you had to come back to Earth, but it was a place you could go for a while. And I thought, there's no better name for this record, because he called it Beulah.
It is a collection of beautiful but dark tunes.
Thank you.
That's kind of your thing, isn't it?
It's not by choice. It's just what I love, man. I've always loved Hank and Lefty Frizzell and all the way up to Elliott Smith and you know, those guys that took as beautiful a melody possible with, you know, a lyric that really just cuts through your veins. And I've always been drawn to it more than other songs, and so it makes sense that that's the kind of stuff I write.
Yeah, it's a beautiful collection.
Thank you.
So what is it that you like to do musically now? I mean, of all the different facets of music that you were involved in, running a label, studio, producing records, writing songs, going out on the road,
right.
If you picked one that you like to do the most, what is it?
That would change if you asked me next week, probably.
Really?
But at the moment, playing in front of crowds, and I didn't think I'd say that. I didn't ever think I'd say that. When I first started writing these songs, it terrified me because I knew that it would mean I'd have to go out. I didn't have to, but once I wrote them, I couldn't stop thinking about what will people think of these songs? Will people connect with them? Will I connect with them because of that? And so I had to find out. And so that's my favorite part now, is watching people's faces. Again, I'm back that 16-year-old in student assembly singing "You Shook Me All Night Long." And after every show, I try to talk to people and make sure that they're engaging the way I want them to and that what I'm doing is mattering.
Well, I know there has been a shift, shorter tours, spend more time at home with the wife and the kids.
Amen.
Fewer promo things. So I am very grateful that you have chosen to spend some time here with us.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate your time too. So thank you for having me.
Pleasure to meet you. John Paul White is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. The new record is called Beulah, and information is online at johnpaulwhite.com. All right, well, let's not ignore this other guitar. What are you going to wrap up with?
This is my little Gibson L00. It's from the 30s. It's the only guitar I've actually paid real money for. I've been pretty lucky. But I'll play the new single called What So.
Low, 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 and four, the four. fortune and a few that don't know the difference between what should be and what's so.
That is What's So. It's John Paul White live today on Jefferson Public Radio, tuned from the record called Beulah. JohnPaulWhite.com is the web address to learn all about him and his music. John Paul White, thanks again for coming by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
I'd love that.
All right.